Two teens were shot and killed last night.
There is an ongoing criminal investigation of what he's been doing.
In the meantime, a fight over an order at a Manhattan McDonald's leads to complete chaos.
The shooting happening just about 24 hours ago. The murder victim, only 18 years old.
Tired of hearing all the bad news? So are we. That's why Lynchburg's morning show is taking time to focus on the positive.
Happy day, happy day.
Our weekly segment called Rising Stars highlights area young people who are inventing, creating, and achieving. Each week, you'll hear from kids who are making a difference and who will make you feel good about the future.
And we want to thank Gentry Lock Attorneys for sponsoring this segment of the program with offices in Lynchburg and Roanoke. Their attorneys and staff are committed to serving the needs of clients and the communities in which they live. And that's why Gentry Lock is so pleased to sponsor the Rising Stars segment, because we will get the future that we work for. And you can find out more at gentrylock.com, GENTRYLOCKE.com. We welcome to the program our Rising Star. She is Kate O'Connell. She's a senior at EC Glass High School and also a student at the Central Virginia Governor's School. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in this awful weather. Actually, yeah. It's not that bad outside, is it?
No, it's not too bad.
Okay. And you guys, Lynchburg
schools. Certainly could have been worse.
Lynchburg schools 2 hours late this morning. And were you hoping for the call that school would be canceled altogether?
I mean, I'm still crossing my fingers, you know.
Now, Kate, you had a teacher recommend you for Rising Stars, and he called to my attention that you have a book now that's being sold on Amazon. This is really cool, and it's called Across the Spaces.
Yeah.
And it's about another civil war that happens in our country, this time between East and West, and it is actually eight intertwined stories. So tell us about, first of all, how'd you come up with the idea for this book?
So I started writing it when I was in the sixth grade.
Wow.
So I started writing it a long time ago, but it wasn't what it is now when I started writing it. So it sort of developed into this more serious story. And I always had the idea of the Civil War. But then as I started to get older and I started to care more about serious things, especially my writing, I wanted to write about more serious stories. And so my book isn't really about necessarily the Civil War. It's not really about the plot. It's more about the characters and the development of the characters and how the war affects them and how other things that are happening have affected their lives. So
set the stage for what's happened. This is the 22nd century and what's happened.
So there's been a three-year-long civil war between the East and the West, just due to a lot of political tensions and issues like that. And after a few years, the West loses. And instead of forgiving the West the way the North forgave the South, the East does not forgive the West, and they become two different countries.
Oh.
Yeah. And so then the West becomes its own country, and it has a lot of problems. There's not really anyone in power.
Well, it's all just a bunch of hippies, right?
This is a neo-Confederacy,
yes.
And there's no leader.
Nope.
There's no order or peace.
None.
And so you describe these as eight tragically intertwined stories. And I like the way this is described. Eight tragically intertwined stories are told, and a good thing too. Otherwise, who would remember them?
Yeah.
So that you wanted to tell these stories from the characters' perspective.
Yes.
So what's going on with these characters?
So each of the eight characters are all related in some way, and so most of the book is actual points of view from a character, and then some are letters and some are newspaper articles, and the newspaper articles are the American newspapers just talking about the war so that you can get the background. And then letters follow a couple who was separated at the border because the border was left open for 30 days after the war ended, and then after 30 days it closed.
Very timely.
Yes. And a wife, she had flown over into the Confederacy to write on the war, and she tried to leave the day it was supposed to close, and they didn't let her out. And so that's where a few of the stories come from. And then a lot of the stories will follow people who work in the government. Eventually, someone takes power, and there's a lot of corruption and greed and all those things. And yeah.
Are you getting your ideas from what's going on currently? Are you where's all this coming from?
I think that not necessarily today, but I started writing, I guess, in 2012. So 2012 to today, there's definitely been like a lot of changes in the political atmosphere and climate, for sure. So I just saw that a lot, and it was always something that I cared about.
Yeah.
And so I guess that sort of, you know, came into my writing.
Is there anything else in, say, pop culture that inspired you? Because as you describe this, I'm thinking of The Man in the High Castle.
That's a good series.
Just the kind of, is there anything, or, and you know, the would you describe
alternative
this?
Alternative history kind of thing.
Yeah, alternative history or kind of the post-apocalyptic is fiction that's very popular. Do you like any particular books or series that are going on now that you...
So I got the sort of like the political aspect of that. The Hunger Games was a big one. But then...
I was thinking of Panem. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Panem.
Panem as kind of a...
Like the New America.
Right.
Yeah, but then I got the idea of doing the different points of view from As I Lay Dying by William Faulkner. I read that in my English class last year, and I really, really liked the way that was written, and it was really short, and mine is really short, and so it's, I sort of drew a lot of inspiration from that book especially.
So as you're telling the story, are the eight stories their own sort of chapters sequentially, or do you just weave them together individually?
So my book doesn't have any page numbers, and that was on purpose because it's not chronological, like, at all.
Okay.
A lot of the characters are older, and so it goes back to their past, and everything is sort of intertwined, so you don't really understand fully what's happened until the very end, because it has to take all of the different stories to come together to work together. But yeah.
Now, talk about what's gone into, once you finished it, in this project that's taken you 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Once you finished it and you thought, aha, okay, here it is, it's I'm happy with it, and then what happened? Because I imagine you don't just like click and it's on Amazon. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it.
So I wanted to publish, and I knew I wanted to self-publish because I didn't really want to spend a lot of time trying to, you know, find someone to represent me and find an actual publishing agency. So, and I knew Amazon did Kindle Direct Publishing, and that I thought that I was going to have to pay for that, but it was actually free. And so pretty much what I did was I uploaded my manuscript, and then they sent me proofs online and a physical proof so that I can make sure everything looked right. And I designed the cover on Photoshop. And after, it took me, I think, a month to from start to finish. But yeah, it was all free. It was really, really nice.
Who helped you along the way? Like, who read it for you and helped you edit and, you know, like, in your acknowledgments? Like, who were the people who were really, that you were turning to as far as guidance?
Yeah, so a lot of people actually didn't know I was writing this.
Really?
Until a few months ago. So it wasn't, I definitely wrote with the door closed. So it wasn't, it definitely wasn't like an open project.
Mm-hmm.
But I finished my first draft at the end of last school year, and I kept editing it through. And then a friend of mine, I asked her to read it, but she was like the first person to have ever read it in 6 years. So yeah, I pretty much did most of this on my own. And the acknowledgments were really my friend, and then a few other friends of mine, some authors, some music artists.
Yeah, just inspirations.
Yeah.
But you, in other words, you haven't had people kind of holding your hand along the way saying, okay, change this or do that.
Yeah.
You haven't had an editor or anything like that.
No.
Wow, it's just been you.
Yeah.
And then, and now it's on Amazon and it's Kindle, right?
You can get it as an ebook or paperback, yeah.
Okay. And how's it being received so far?
So only the people that have really bought it are like close friends.
Right.
Which is okay. I wasn't really expecting to, you know, have a huge bestseller or anything. And it's supposed to come out in stores actually in a few months, I think.
And so we'll be able to get it at the local Gibbons.
So. Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
We're going to help you get the word out, because it's really neat that you've done this, and it's been such a thoughtful work in progress, you know, for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've kind of ruminated over where is this going to go. And that's exciting. Kate O'Connell is our rising star, and her book is on Amazon, and it's called Across the Spaces. I want to make sure we're getting the name out. And you are a student at the Central Virginia Governor's School, where there's just so much good stuff going on. And last year, your research project on mobilized algal beads, am I saying that correctly, won national recognition. Tell us about that.
So My project was on immobilized algal beads, and that was pretty much, I created really small gel beads made with algae, like think Orbeez, you know, the little Orbeez toys.
Yeah.
It sort of looked like that, but a little smaller. And I did that with three different types of algae, and I wanted to see which one would take lead out of water the best, because algae has been known to have properties that they can take heavy metals like lead out of water. And I really, really cared about things like, and I still care about things like Flint, Michigan, and water crises that happen everywhere. So I really wanted to do something that was financially practical and environmentally safe and all those things to help clean water.
And what were your results?
My results were really, really good. So the algae significantly took out a good amount of the lead, and the type of algae that I used that I thought was going to do the best did. So all my results kind of fell into place really nicely.
And you received you went to a national competition.
Yes. So I was nominated, I think five other Gov School students were nominated to go to the Virginia Junior Science and Humanities Symposium. And before we went, the director of Gov School pretty much said, you know, it's an honor to be here, to be going, you know, we do not win these things. You know, if you're nominated for some type of award, that's a really big deal, and we're all really proud of you. And I went and presented and didn't really expect anything, but I won second overall, which was really, really crazy. So I was able to present my research a few months later at Nationals in Hunt Valley, Maryland.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so impressive. We've talked to some other Gov School students and about their projects, and that's what impresses me, is not only the months and months and months of research that you put into it, but then how you have to get up there and present it to panels of judges who are asking really tough questions, and you have to know your stuff. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, you also enjoy, you play the violin in the UC Glass Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And what are some other things you enjoy doing?
I play field hockey. Wow. I'm not a star athlete at all, but I really enjoy field hockey and obviously writing and, you know, really, I don't really do much besides that.
Where do you want to go to college?
Georgetown is my dream school.
Okay.
But I don't really know what the future will hold.
10 years from now, are you going to be in science or in what?
Good.
In science or author or law, what are you going to be doing?
I love Gov School, but I do not love STEM. Gov School is an amazing place, but the science and math aspect is not what drew me to it. So I want to go to law school, and I want to work in humanitarian law, preferably international, maybe working with some place like the UN, or maybe just working on Capitol Hill as a lawyer. And I want to continue writing in my free time and self-publishing books along the way.
That's very exciting.
Now, wait, you haven't gotten to the big story
yet. I'm saving that for the end.
So we have to get, we're running out of time
here.
I heard
through the grapevine that Kate O'Connell, our rising star, has another invention that she's not been given proper credit for. And so we wanted to make sure that that is rectified here on the morning show, that you're given proper credit for creating a Pop-Tart flavor. Tell us about this.
So when I was five or six, I saw a commercial that was a create-your-own Pop-Tart sweepstakes, and I was so excited. I went on my mom's computer and I created this Pop-Tart, and I have vivid memories of actually creating the Pop-Tart and creating all the different flavors. And then I drew a double helix in chocolate on the front of the Pop-Tart and drew on rainbow sprinkles, and I named it the Hot Fudge Sundae Pop-Tart. And then a little while later, someone at school brought them for lunch, and I was like, that's my Pop-Tart.
So you sent it in and everything,
yes.
And you invented the Hot Fudge Sundae Pop-Tart with the design and everything.
Yeah, everything.
And so they used your specific design?
Yes.
Okay, because I can imagine there might be more than one person who comes up with Hot Fudge Sundae Pop-Tart.
Yeah, no, it was a very specific design.
Okay.
And I wrote a letter to their customer service when I was like 14, and they wrote me a letter back, and they were like, sorry, it's not your idea. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Maybe this is why you want to go into law, so you can
sue
them.
So I can go and I can sue Kellogg's.
What is the statute of limitations?
Yeah, I think we passed the point of that one right now.
That's just that's very funny. But so whenever we're eating the Hot Fudge Sundae Pop-Tart, we will know that it was Kate's idea.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, so your book is on Amazon. It's called Across the Spaces. War tore the nation apart, tore them apart in 22nd century America. Political tensions polarized the East and West, causing the West to secede and create the Neo-Confederacy. And it's eight tragically intertwined stories are told, and a good thing too. Otherwise, who would remember them? So I read the little synopsis there. I'm looking forward to reading this, Kate, and looking forward to great things from you. And we just appreciate you being on the program.
Glad to be here.
Best of luck to you in the future.
Thank you.
And we want to thank Gentry Lock Attorneys for sponsoring our Rising Star segment. They have offices in Lynchburg and Roanoke, and their attorneys and staff are committed to serving the needs of clients and the communities in which they live. That's why Gentry Lock is so pleased to sponsor the Rising Star segment, because we will get the future we work for. GentryLock.com is their website.